to another Global Crossroads conversation with Chris Smith and the author Mo Tejani.
Welcome back to Global Crossroads, an audio series which is mirroring the book Global Crossroads. And my name's Chris Smith. I said that like I wasn't sure what my name was. But I'm here with the author.
Are you sure?
I'm here with the author, Mo Tejani. I'm actually getting your name right now, Mo, aren't I? I'm missing the N out now.
I'm impressed.
Really? Yeah, I've been practicing since we did the last conversation. And you will be getting the most benefit out of this conversation, listening to us here, ramble on a bit. If you've read the book already, so we're assuming you've bought the book and you've read the book, and you may have listened to the two conversations so far, which are part of the first section of the book, which is called Time Travel.
That's right. We did two
conversations on Latin Carino, and no, you could say it better. Say
Latin Carino.
Oh, he does it so well, doesn't he? And Hedonists of Oz. And say Oz, okay, right? Yeah. So that was the foundation for the book. That's the start of the book. And now we move on to a section that you actually call, it's a series of four stories, isn't it?
Four chapters, which
you call...
Cultural warp.
Cultural warp. Why? Where did that come from?
Well, a lot of this, all these four stories, in fact, using different approaches and different perceptions of what is culture, how does culture get understood? When and how do misunderstandings happen in culture? What is culture clash? What is cultural baggage? All these concepts that relate to the dynamic word culture, which in itself is a moving, constantly moving mechanism anyway. Other things that I'm exploring in these four stories. So that's where the term culture warp comes from, because I see warp as a word that expresses the kind of permutations that go on within culture, especially today in such an interconnected world, when web networks and easy travel and intercultural relationships are all on the rise.
Yes.
And there's all kinds of anomalies that come about, especially in the realm of culture.
Yes.
And I, having worked as a humanitarian aid worker in so many different countries with so many different cultures, have been exposed to quite a few of these cultural clashes. So I felt it important to try and bring them out in a hopefully humorous way, and so sometimes politically satirical way, and sometimes offensive way, just to get people to be thinking about them.
Yes, warp has several. Warp's an interesting word, isn't it? It has several meanings. Like you can have a time warp, or your mind can be warped.
Exactly.
Which warp
are we talking about?
Yeah, which warp?
Why not all of them? Because in culture you do come across all of them.
Yes.
In time travel we talk about time warp, because we compare modes of travel 30 years apart from each other. But here we're looking at culture warp in the sense of, is it ever possible to define a culture in a specific formulaic way? No. Is it even possible to keep it still, standing still? No. Culture is like language. It's dynamic. It's always changing. It's always growing, sometimes going backwards in history,
yes,
if you like. So there's all these movements that go on in culture, which is why warp is a good word to use from my point of view.
Okay. For some reason, though, sitting opposite you now, I'm thinking of mind warping, but I'm not sure why that
is. Well, cultural baggage is what mind warp is.
Really?
Cultural baggage is a term that we use in cross-cultural studies that talks about all the different values and norms and traditions and things, that beliefs that you're used to, that you take with you whenever you go traveling.
Right.
And then you realize that, oh, I've got all this baggage in my head, some of which I need to shed if I am to understand what is really going on in any particular event that is completely new to me, that is unfathomable to me, that is annoying to me, that's fascinating to me, all those different elements.
Yes.
Come into play because you've got your own baggage.
And you did actually in earlier conversations, on earlier chapters, actually mention that some people were bringing too much baggage with them when they were on their travels. They were, you know, when we talked about traveling in a bubble.
We all do. It's a question of degrees.
Really?
To say that you have no cultural baggage is to say you have no identity, is to say you have no background, and you get, that you don't have any history until going backwards into the past. Mm. So everybody does have cultural baggage, but cultural baggage is somewhat of a latent concept in that it doesn't really come out until some event, some occasion, some person confronts you with a belief that's exact opposite or certainly very different from what you believe. And then the baggage kicks in.
When you're challenged, yes.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly.
But this our conversation now, which we've planned for 30 minutes, but I bet you 100 baht it goes for longer than 30 minutes.
Maybe 31, 32, who knows?
Okay. do you want to take the bet then? Okay. but the first of the stories is called T-shirt Tango.
Right.
Why?
Because I decided at one point in this story, well, let me backtrack a little bit and I can tell you why T-shirt Tango, why do I use T-shirts as the tool to bring out different aspects of culture that we just talked about. I was a kid growing up in Uganda, 1960s. President Kennedy had just come into power in the United States, and we all had a holiday because Kennedy was such a revered person, not only in the United States, but in the rest of the world. This is the time when America's image in the rest of the world was a very positive one.
Uganda gave everybody a one day's holiday because of an American
president being elected who was supposed to be a very strong Samaritarian, the first Catholic to be elected. Remember, Uganda is a Catholic country.
Yes.
So let's not forget that either. But anyway, I'm walking down the street, Kampala, Main Street, Kampala, and I see an Afro-American wearing a T-shirt that said, remember, this was the presidential election between Kennedy and Nixon. Said, President Kennedy has 3 bulletproof Cadillacs. J. Edgar Hoover has 4. And I thought to myself, who the hell is J. Edgar Hoover? Went home, went to a dictionary, went to an Encyclopedia Britannica, and found out that J. Edgar Hoover is the FBI director in the United States during the time of President Kennedy. So the wheels start churning in terms of A, realizing that the FBI director obviously has more status power than the president, which is what the T-shirt is saying.
Oh, this
was on a T-shirt.
Yes.
Secondly, me reading this T-shirt is making me realize, hey, this is a really interesting non-confrontational tool to bring out political satire.
The T-shirt, right.
Yes. I didn't even know the term political satire back then. But now I realize that. And it made me want to collect T-shirts, which I have done for the next 30, 40 years of my life.
Yes.
Especially T-shirts that bring out humor, that bring out satire, be it political, social, religious, what have you. But it's also a really good way of bringing out irony of the topsy-turvy life we live in today's world.
Yes.
So I've been a collector of T-shirts, and I thought, hey, at some point, why not write a story about it? Let other people see the anomalies that I see, and maybe they'd see them and maybe they don't.
I want to be very careful. We don't cover the stories in the
chapter itself.
No,
we'll try
not
to do
that. There's a danger that we could do that and summarize it, and then nobody buy your book.
Right.
And ladies and gentlemen, send the money and get your PayPal accounts working.
Otherwise, things will happen to you that we talk about in the T-shirts, one of the T-shirt sayings, if you don't send money, that is.
Oh, okay. And I think I know which one that is, but I'm not going to say.
Okay, good.
I'm not going to say, because there's some interesting stories. Are there any T-shirts that you didn't mention in the story that
Absolutely.
Come to mind?
Absolutely.
Maybe you should share a couple of those.
Yeah, because I didn't want to, you know, belabor the point. Once you made it's a short story.
And
once
T-shirt made, overload. You didn't
exactly,
want to go into T-shirt.
Exactly.
T-shirt.
Right.
Culture shock.
This is what 1974. I want to say, Nixon came very close to being impeached for the Watergate bugging.
Yes.
And I have a brother I'm in New York at this time, and I have a brother who's getting married in England, so I make it a point to try and show up for his wedding. But in my usual typical fashion of wanting to invoke people into conversation, I'm wearing a T-shirt when I land at Heathrow Airport that says, "Member G. Gordon Liddy, member of the Watergate bugging team."
That was on your T-shirt?
That was the T-shirt I was wearing in landing at Heathrow in the summer. And as you know, the British can be quite reserved when it comes to talking to strangers.
No.
Well, this particular T-shirt did exactly the opposite. I must have had close to 5 or 6 people come to me in the course of my first day in London saying, "Are you from America?" And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I love this T-shirt. Tell me more about G. Gordon Liddy. Tell me more about Watergate, et cetera, et cetera." It becomes a conversation piece.
Yes, an icebreaker.
It becomes an icebreaker.
Yeah, an icebreaker.
Exactly.
Yes.
And people obviously were very curious, especially people outside of the United States, who had somewhat different perspectives of what had been going on with Watergate. They're very curious to find out what does a American who's wearing a T-shirt like this think about Watergate.
So did you look like an American then, or were you still in your sort of long-haired, sort of Jimmy Page?
Oh, absolutely.
Look? You were still...
Absolutely. I had a ponytail, yes.
Yes,
absolutely.
Okay.
But that didn't deter people from... The T-shirt did the work.
Yes.
You know, did the work. And so that was, again, me realizing this is an excellent tool to get people engaged, to get people to talk about things that are important, to get people involved in meaningful intellectual discussions, what have you, and to make people laugh.
Yes, yeah. Actually, can I share one of my T-shirts?
Absolutely.
One of my fun T-shirts, and it's not my design or anything, it's just one I've seen, and it's an old one, and some listeners will know about it, I'm sure. It's that old T-shirt which was being worn by a biker on his Harley Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back of his T-shirt, on his Harley Davidson, it says, on the back of his T-shirt, it says, "If you can read this, the bitch fell off." Now, actually, but it's not only funny, it's clever, isn't it?
It's clever because
it puts it in situ. And do T-shirts travel, or are they very, have a local, like, had you been in Asia with that T-shirt you've just said, would it have had the same impact, you think, than in the UK or the one?
The beauty.
Watergate?
Yeah, well, you bring up a good point, because what is the lifespan of a T-shirt is another question that comes up.
Oh, yes.
Okay. If you talk about a T-shirt that says, like the one that I once saw a Chinese fellow wearing in Bangkok, said over 1 million served, and it had a picture of M for McDonald's, the McDonald's or the fast food restaurant, except that inside the M, instead of a picture of a hamburger, it had a picture of Karl Marx. As in communism.
Yes.
Over 1 billion served.
Yes.
Okay? Now I wonder...
That's quite deep. Actually, that's quite deep.
It is very good.
Yeah.
It's quite creative.
Yeah.
And yet, I think to myself, would that same Chinese man be wearing this T-shirt today in China? I don't know. Yes and no. Yeah, things are changing in China, right?
It could have been Mao, couldn't it, actually?
Exactly.
That would have,
see, it brings up that conversation of what if, right? And that what if scenario makes you also realize that as T-shirts become obsolete, because some are dated.
Okay.
You know,
the sayings become obsolete.
Others pop up. new ones are getting created all the time because there's so many wonderful, yes. crazy things going on yes. in this world. So if you had a T-shirt that said, which I once saw, actually, this was a bumper sticker, not a T-shirt, but it serves the same purpose. It said, Nixon, 4 more years. 2 off for good behavior. Wonderful. But if you wore that today, excellent. You know?
Oh, I love it. I like but
that. By the same token, you can't wear that T-shirt today or have that bumper sticker today. It wouldn't make any sense.
Yes.
So time, lifespan is one thing. The other thing, sorry, remind me of the second part of that question.
Oh, it was other sayings that weren't mentioned in the chapter, and it was also to do with do they date, do they pick to a certain location, you know.
Oh, right. Context. Yes. Context is so important. Without giving it away, I purposefully choose T-shirts that are completely out of place in the context of the culture they're in. And it creates not only just a juxtaposition, but a perfect irony in a situation where A, on the one hand, you're laughing, B, on the other hand, you're realizing if the person that's wearing this T-shirt, which oftentimes, if it's a T-shirt in English, the person wearing the T-shirt hardly knows any English. To them, it's just an
because they can't
t-shirt.
Read English.
They
yes,
can't read
yes,
it. Yes. So if you were to tell them what their T-shirt said, they would be mortified.
Yeah. And we're not going to mention it. No. It's the woman one, isn't it, in the chapter?
Yeah. And I've run into these situations over and over again.
Yes.
So language becomes an issue. Taking a cultural concept from one country and placing it into another becomes an issue. And I've always been fascinated with the word juxtaposition. And juxtaposition is something that in cultural terms you would just call culture clash. When you take a T-shirt that talks about the taxation policies of Canada and transport them onto somebody's body in a small town in Uganda, and you ask the person, what does this T-shirt say? He says, I have no idea, but I hope it's something good. You know, that kind of scenario. So I think it's a wonderful, humorous way of bringing up social and political situations.
Any other examples that you didn't mention in the chapter?
Oh, yes.
You can think of.
I'm a nature lover, so I like to go to national parks and what have you. And I do remember a time in.
And you went camping recently.
Oh, yes.
And we shouldn't say that because recently might be 20 years ago.
Well, I went camping 20 years ago and I go camping now. It's just that I take a lot of Tiger Balm with me now.
Right. Okay.
But I was in a national park called Yellowstone, which is one of the more famous ones in the United States.
Oh, Yogi Bear, right?
Yogi Bear, exactly.
And the
geese. And it ties in with Yogi Bear, in fact, what I'm about to tell you. And because bears are so free to move anywhere in that park, and in fact they have the right of way in many, many places in the park, I saw a T-shirt that I thought, I gotta have this T-shirt. It had a picture of a bear holding a rifle, and it said at the bottom, the right to arm bears. Now, this may not have too much contextual meaning for somebody that's not used to what the pun on the phrase is. In the United States, the right to bear arms is a very strong principle.
Okay, I've just thrown my arms up in the air, right? I just realized, right?
The right to bear arms.
Yes.
And here's this wonderful picture at Yellowstone Park of a bear carrying a rifle saying the right to arm bears. Perfect turnaround, play with words, point made.
Yes.
Point made. So simple and yet so complex.
I sometimes wonder whether people do it by accident or on purpose, but something like that must be deliberate.
It's very deliberate.
Yes.
And the wonderful part of it is, you know, Chris, without again giving it away, that a Thai T-shirt designer on the streets of Bangkok is able to capitalize mm-hmm. on the vagaries of American democracy and American presidential elections just to make a buck or a dollar or a baht is fantastic. Yeah. And that's what happens in one of the anecdotes in the story.
Yes.
Right?
And listeners to listeners to us now, if you've never been to Bangkok and you do go there, actually it's the same with many Asian countries. Places in Bangkok like Sukhumvit Road, which is, you know,
T-shirt Alley.
Yeah, I quite like that. T-shirt Alley, yes. It's just full of them. There's so many of those there. They're very, very, very clever.
And they sell like hotcakes because they are clever.
And they're fun. And,
you know?
Yes.
There's another one that comes to my mind. There's a famous place in Bangkok called Khao San Road, which is backpacker haven, which is where a lot of the backpackers coming to Southeast Asia gravitate to. And it's used as a meeting point for further travels into Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, what have you. There's a guy I met, a Thai fellow, who had made up a T-shirt called the Khao San Syndrome. And below it, it said, when in Khao San, make sure you get a tattoo. Make sure you eat pad thai. Make sure you talk to the orange juice lady. Make sure you get your hair in dreadlocks, etc., etc., etc. Funny as hell. Every single backpacker that saw that T-shirt would like to have one.
Yes.
What a wonderful way to make some money.
Yes.
Be quite creative.
Yes.
Still have some humor in it and walk away with a T-shirt.
So, Mo, where's your tattoo?
Where's my tattoo? I don't have a tattoo.
Did you ever have a tattoo? You never had
I've
one.
Never had a tattoo, really? And that's because I believe that body is a sacred thing. You don't want to put something on it that you can never take off. Having those fake tattoos, I don't have a problem
right.
with. But having a tattoo on it, and then you wake up, you know, 30 years later saying, this is not what I want. Well, too bad. Yeah. You're stuck with it.
When you wake up 30 years later, it says, I love Joyce.
Exactly.
But your wife's name's actually.
Daphne. Exactly. Daphne hates Joyce.
Yeah. That would be an interesting conversation at some time in the future, maybe, is what difference it makes, the permanence of a tattoo, to the words on a T-shirt. Because it's the same sort of thing, isn't
right.
it? Except one is, it's for a long
but
time.
But you can discard a T-shirt.
Yeah.
You can't discard a tattoo.
Really? Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, would I have Nixon on my tattooed on my arm for the rest of my life?
Exactly.
It would be...
Exactly. Well, again, to me, maybe this is stretching it a little bit, Chris, but if you are so strong, if you believe so strongly about something to the point where you want to make a permanent stamp of that belief on your own body, it implies that you don't really fully understand the expression never say never. Because we change, people change, your values change. And if you're stuck with something that's on your body so that your most loved one and private one can see it every day when they
yes.
when you go in the shower.
Yes.
It's a little embarrassing, don't you think?
Yes. 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 Janice was here tattooed on your bum.
Exactly.
Wouldn't go down very well, right?
And people get all kinds of tattoos with all kinds of sayings, you know, so
who knows?
Do you
think people actually get upset about what they see? Now, you're actually saying there's some serious messages there, but you can just take them superficially if you want to, and you have a smile.
Mm.
Do you think people actually get upset about T-shirts? You mentioned at the beginning that maybe not, that they were not permanent, but they could be... Are they offensive to some people?
They can be. If, again, it ties in with cultural baggage and culture clash. If the T-shirt is taking a position, be it politically or socially, what have you, that you are vehemently against, then that T-shirt becomes offensive. Again, it's still a conversation piece. It may bring that person to confront you
yes.
as opposed to want to talk, have a pleasant conversation with
yes.
you. But the good thing about it is, A, it's instantaneous because you see it in passing when you're walking along the street. And B, it's non-confrontational. The person is not saying, listen, you need to take my belief and make it your own. It's basically saying, this is what I think, enough to the point of where I wear a T-shirt that says it. You decide for yourself. And that makes the other person who may not have that same belief at least reflect. So it becomes an awareness tool too.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
But I will give you an example without going into stories that anecdotes that are in the story.
It's so tempting, isn't it? I want to mention some of those, but we're not going to.
Right. Let the reader find out and enjoy them for themselves. I will use only one expression that's in the story. There's a story that refers to religious aspects, and one of the lines that I saw on a T-shirt that I particularly liked, it said, "Jesus is back." And it says, "And boy, is he pissed off." Okay. Yes. Now, that might be something you might see in a graffiti wall.
Yes.
But I saw this T-shirt also in a place called Uganda, which is where I grew up. Uganda is a Christian country. Uganda is a Catholic country. Uganda is the first country in Africa that the Pope ever visited in 1970 to canonize 16 martyrs.
I didn't know that.
So, Uganda is a pretty Catholic country.
Yes.
Today, we have in northern Uganda a man called Joseph Kony who prides himself in being a very strong Catholic.
Yes.
And yet he's being wanted by the International Criminal Court for genocide. For genocide of more than 200,000 people.
Wow.
For genocide and mutilation of vital organs of human beings, especially children. Genocide for child soldiers, etc. This is a Catholic Christian from Uganda. This is also the country, was my country, that 3 months ago passed a law that homosexuality is punishable by death.
Really?
So,
I didn't know. I thought all the countries were going the other way.
My point exactly. So the point is, Jesus is back and he is pissed off. You see my point? Depends on the perspective you bring to whatever you read on the T-shirt, right? I'm sure somebody else has a very different perspective than I do in reading that same message.
Yes. What would be interesting is if we walked around and it wasn't Christianity that we were saying things like that about, that can get very nasty. You know, if it was Muslim sayings.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't want to walk around with something like that, especially if it was in a language which I didn't know.
Right.
And it was being, it had the same sort of thing about another culture. I'd be very nervous about that.
So much so that it again brings up, you know, other avenues of discussion. I was troublemaker that I am, Chris.
No.
I once took a T-shirt that had a picture of George Bush and Osama bin Laden right next to each other. And there was nothing offensive from my point of view because the saying at the bottom said, "The day the world changed." That's all it said. Nothing else. And just two pictures.
Yes.
I wore this T-shirt in the streets of New York 5 years after 9/11. My friends wouldn't walk with me. My American friends wouldn't walk with me.
Mm.
Now, that says something quite different. It's not taking a political stance, because the T-shirt, in my opinion, doesn't take a political stance. It just says the day the world changed. It's not saying for the better, for worse, etc., etc. People wouldn't walk with me.
But it wasn't even highlighting 9/11, right? It was
not at all. Yes. Just two pictures of two people next to each other. So that brings up the question of, so what happened to freedom of expression? Mm-hmm. An axiom, a pillar of American history, American democracy, American freedom.
Yes.
You know, it's not to say that this is all about America. You can find same sort of situations about T-shirts in other countries with other cultures as well, you know. But you also remember the time of, what was it, the cartoons. Remember the cartoons that came up by a Danish newspaper that created all kinds of
furor? About Rushdie.
About Prophet Muhammad.
Oh, Not
Rushdie.
Yes, yes.
Those are offensive to some.
Yes.
And yet freedom of expression to others. So if it's freedom of expression to others in the West, then why is it not freedom of expression to have an Osama bin Laden and George Bush T-shirt that says the day the world changed?
Because you might get shot in that case,
Double standards. Yes. You see what I'm getting at, right?
But are cultural standards double standards? You know, are you, whatever you are, if you're a Muslim, it's not double standards, it's your standard. You're a Muslim. These are my standards. Yeah. Because they're different from the Western doesn't mean they're double standard.
No. I use the word double standards in the sense of it is okay for, in this particular example that we were talking about, it is okay for the West to say, it's quite within my right and my God-given human right to have freedom of expression and write, or in this case, draw a cartoon of anything I want.
Yes.
But it's not okay if somebody does it about my own culture.
Yes.
Which is what is happening when you have a T-shirt like Osama bin Laden and George Bush. So that's what I mean by double standards. You know, preach what you teach.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a history. I bet there's a website of T-shirts somewhere.
I'm sure there is.
Let's Google that one day. I bet there's a museum of T-shirts somewhere as well. I like the example. I'm not going to say what it is. I'm just going to say how it is. I like the example in the book of the double T-shirt. And by double T-shirt, I mean you walk towards somebody and there's a very innocent saying or picture on the front. And then they walk past you and you see there's something written on the back that actually makes sense or makes the humor to the whatever's on the front. It's almost like a double, it's sort of a lead-up line and then a punchline, but one's exactly on the front and one's on the back. And you have a great example in the chapter, which, again, I'm not going to mention.
But the beauty about that is, again, without getting into the saying itself, when one looks at the saying in the front, one's own cultural baggage kicks in of what the T-shirt says. And then one sees the saying on the back, one realizes that one has been fooled.
Yes.
One also realizes that your cultural baggage was wrong in the first place. Which then, if you want to take that one step further, would force you to reflect. Why did I make that assumption? What is in me that makes me want to make that assumption? And is that assumption necessarily a correct one? This is what all the different facets that come into play with culture.
Do you think people really do that, or they just go, "Oh, that's a clever T-shirt. Let's move on." And it's just, do they actually make people think?
Some do, some don't. Some are oblivious to it. Some are fascinated by it. Some will stop you and saying, "Let's talk about this."
Yes.
The whole gamut.
Yes.
But the beauty of it is, it will create a reaction, whether it's conscious or subconscious.
Yes.
It will create a reaction.
Have you done your own? Have you ever done your own T-shirt?
Oh, yes. As I told you, there was a time when I was a troublemaker. Now I'm a sane boy, but that's a different story.
Yeah, everybody put their hands up who believes that. None of the listeners have put their hands up.
They're all shaking their heads. The Thai word for a foreigner in the Thai language is Farak. The Thai word for a tropical fruit in Thailand called guava is also Farang.
I didn't know that.
So, being the Peace Corps volunteer with new roads to open up, I came up with the idea of having a picture of a foreigner eating a guava. With the caption at the bottom says, Farang, Gin Farang, which in Thai means four things now.
Oh.
A guava eats a guava. A foreigner eats a foreigner. A foreigner eats a guava. And a guava eats a foreigner.
My brain's aching.
That's all. Through that one phrase. Some of my Thai friends didn't think that was politically nice. Now, back then, they were howling.
Yes.
Because there wasn't such thing as political correctness.
Why would it not be nice? Because of the Now
that's tourism dollars, right? You're making fun of the farang that brings in 6% of the GNP in this country.
For goodness sake. Really?
Well, I think so.
Really?
I think so. I don't think it would be as much of a hit as it was in the 70s. Let's put it that way.
But it requires, as it's not in English, it requires a translation.
That's right. It's a T-shirt I wore in Thailand, so people would know.
Yes.
You know? But again, if I wore that T-shirt in another country, it wouldn't make any sense. Here's another one. In Guatemala, one of the things you always catch, if you're not very careful, is a parasite called Giardia, which does havoc on your stomach. And the myth, or who knows if it's a myth or not, the rumor always was that you can catch Giardia or amoebiasis, which is another parasitic disease that you often find in some places, including Guatemala, that amoebas always are found in strawberries, because strawberries are not necessarily the cleanest of strawberries in Guatemala. So I remember seeing a foreigner wearing a t-shirt of a white man eating strawberries, and it said at the bottom, amoebas, anybody? you see, now that would be offensive to a Guatemalan, right? But yet you're laughing and I'm laughing.
Okay. No, we've been going for 35 minutes. You owe me 100 baht.
I think you prolonged the last five.
Really? Okay, deliberately. I have to earn me money somehow. What have we missed out? Were there any favorite quotes that you have?
One of them I mentioned about, President Kennedy has three bulletproof Cadillacs and J. Edgar Hoover has four. But other than that, no. I think we covered quite a few of them. And I'm sure that everybody that's listening to this podcast will sure have a few of their own.
Yes, that would be good. In
fact, if you do, please write in the comments blog and the comments section and let us know so we can laugh with you.
Yes. Yeah, I have to Google it. I bet there's a t-shirt site somewhere.
Right.
And I guess just Googling Google images will come up with all sorts of things.
Right, but I think I've seen a few, but they're not as funny, in my opinion, as the real thing of somebody actually sitting down and thinking, how can I create a creative t-shirt that A, says something, B, is funny, and C, will sell like hotcakes?
I have a challenge for you, Mo.
What's
my challenge is, we need a clever, and it will make you smile, global crossroads
T-shirt? Or
don't,
saying?
Don't think now. But
saying
something
or
on
T-shirt?
There. T-shirt. No, it's T-shirt. Ah, a T-shirt. Okay. Don't tell us now.
Yeah, No. This takes thinking.
Yeah, okay.
It's an art.
We're allowed to think. I stopped thinking when I was 30, right? So just as a reminder, this is the second section in the book called Cultural Warp, and it's the first of four chapters, and this one's called is T-shirt Tango. The reason I'm reminding listeners about this is that, okay, we've laughed and joked about this, but there's a really serious message in this chapter, isn't there? The whole thing about the culture is a really serious foundation.
Yes.
This is a question mark at the end of this. My sentence here is it's a really serious foundation for the next three chapters. Would I be right to say that?
Well,
as far as the
serious in the sense that it makes you think. Not serious in the sense of you have to be morose and be badgered with one didactic lesson after another.
No, not at all.
It brings out all the different elements of emotion through the concepts of culture. And in that sense, it is serious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the reasons, ladies and gentlemen, I said that was at the beginning, before we actually started recording, I asked Mo if was there something, a particular way he wanted to start our conversation. And he said, yeah, I have got something, but he says it's a bit academic. I'd rather have something juicy.
Exactly. Not that I have anything against academics, but I've had my share in two master's degrees, and I do think that some academics live in an ivory tower, some academics inspire you, and some academics are just plain and simple boring.
Okay, on that note, before he digs a bigger hole for himself,
right.
we perhaps should stop this one. And if you're working through the book, then your next chapter is
Dog Karma. It's all about my relationship with dogs all over the world.
Right, and the dogs won't be wearing tattoos or t-shirts.
What?
No, stop. That's the teaser.
I will leave that for the reader to find out when they get to the story.
And can come back to us and listen to our conversation on that chapter.
Exactly.
Thanks for listening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Thanks, Mo, for sharing.
Thank you very much for listening.
This recording is one of the Global Crossroads Conversations with Chris Smith and the author Mo Tejani.